Hey, we all know that goal setting is a good idea, and at Intentional Living, we promote it big time because we know it's important. But I bet, and I'm not a betting person, that the lady you're going to meet here in just a moment live in our studio set and accomplished a goal that none of you have ever even thought about in your own life. All right? And in fact, less than 2,000 people officially have ever set and accomplished this goal in their life. And so we're going to hear a big, humongous goal set that was accomplished, taking 22 years to do so, and it'll be an encouragement for you. And it happens to be a lady that's right here, a part of our team at Intentional Living. So I hope you'll stay tuned. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, and we will open the phone line. But today, because I have Amy in the studio, I want to talk to her and hear her story. But if you have a question for Amy, we'll let you get through. Okay, how's that sound? 888-888-1717. And this lady happens to have an office space directly next to me, upstairs. Yay. In the building. Amy Rollins is part of our team. Amy, how are you today?
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
And Amy, tell everybody what you do here at Intentional Life Media.
I work in compliance, so I work largely with our documents that we need to file to the FCC, or the Federal Communications Commission, helping us keep our licenses to broadcast over the air.
Detail person.
Details, yes.
Driving some of us crazy that we're not the detail type, but we need Amy to make sure everything is set.
I think I'm sometimes not the favorite.
All right. Now, Amy, you've been on here with the ministry, what, 20 years?
19. Yeah,
19,
almost
years,
right.
19 years. People are listening. 22 years ago, you set a goal, and you just accomplished it after 22 years last month with a great, great big applause with all the staff, and we've been celebrating with you over these years. Tell everybody, what was your goal, and what did you accomplish after 22 years?
I ran a marathon, which is 26.2 miles in every single one of the United States of America, 50 states.
Officially. And she has upstairs in her office the proof hanging on the wall, about 40 pounds worth of medals that she's run every state, right?
That plaque is, you know, anchored to the wall so that it doesn't fall off.
26.2 miles. We did the math. How many miles total have you run in the last 22 miles?
So in order to train for the marathon, you put in a lot of miles. So about 2,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So times 22, that'd be about 44,000 miles.
And we did the math, because I'm a math guy, 500 miles per pair of shoes.
That's right.
So that's 88 pair of shoes.
Okay.
So you kept Nike in business, I guess, right?
I should have stock by now, right?
Why did you set a goal like that 22 years ago?
Well, 22 years ago, I just wanted to run one. Didn't know that there was going to be 50 states. Didn't think that I could do such a thing. I was at that point running a block and walking a block. That was my exercise. And as I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was overweight. I wasn't very active. I wasn't eating well nutritionally, and that is defined for other people in different ways, so I'll just say I wasn't eating nutritionally. And with getting more active with this diagnosis, I thought, what can I do to help myself in this situation? Are there things I can do? And I understand some people, you know, have genetic reasons that they get these diagnoses and things like that, but barring that, what can I do? So I got more active. And I chose to eat better. And after about 2 years, I was running marathons. I was told I don't have high blood pressure anymore. And so I thought, what can I do to make this a lifestyle change and enter the 50-state goal? Because this will allow me to continue to live that lifestyle, thinking that diagnosis of high blood pressure in my mid-20s was probably not honoring to God if I wasn't taking care of the vessel that He gave me.
So let's go back 22 years. You get the diagnosis, you know, high blood pressure and so on. Take us to that moment that you decided to take that first marathon race. I mean, what was it? Were you having lunch somewhere and saw a brochure? I mean, what was it that got you started?
I was looking at the view from the Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes in Michigan, and I'm looking over this beautiful basically landscape and thinking that God created this. And I was newly divorced and I didn't have a lot of self-esteem. The person, my ex-husband, had cheated on me. So I thought, God's like, the way you're feeling right now is not how I created you to feel. You are a child of God. So I want to challenge you to do something that you don't think you're capable of. And you need my strength to help you do it. Mm. And so enter the marathon goal. And I was like, guess what? Like 3 months later, a coworker had run a marathon. I was like, oh no, now I'm going to be committed. I'm going to have to do this thing. And so God showed me that I can do hard things with his strength.
So this was an evolving goal for you. It wasn't, hey, I'm going to run 50 states. You were basically saying, I'd like to walk a block and run a block.
Yes.
At the beginning.
Yeah, it took time.
And so you went out, got the shoes, got the outfit, and just started. I mean, what were the first few weeks like? I mean, you've got people listening. The reason I'm asking this is because people today are listening and they're thinking, hello, this is a crazy lady. I mean, there's no way I'm going to run 50 states, 44,000 miles.
That's okay? Probably an accurate assessment.
All right. But she's not, by the way. She's wonderful. But they're thinking, I just want to get through the day. You know, I just want a goal to help my kids get through school, or I want to honor Christ with my body or finances or get out of debt or something. Take us to that very beginning. It sounds like you had an encounter with God overlooking the beautiful sand dunes of Western Michigan.
Yeah.
So what was going on?
Just starting and then, okay, well, now I'm sore. So maybe I want to quit, right, on day three because I'm sore, because I'm starting to do something that I haven't done in a long time. But the discipline of keeping going, regardless of how I felt, I was sweaty, I was out of breath, I was sore, but just the consistency is what I saw over time and continuing to do it. Let's say day one was running a block, walking a block. Day two, I added another block. So the consistency.
Did you want to quit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I was out of breath. I was sweaty. I was sore. But I felt like I would be giving up on myself and I would be giving up on the God-given goal. So I didn't. God helped me to not give up.
Have you always been a goal-oriented type person before that?
Not before knowing Christ. I would say after knowing Christ, and maybe because I felt that this was a God-given goal, I was like, okay, let's do this.
How long?
I'm going to need your help. I can't do this.
How long did it take to kick in that, okay, I'm going to really do this? I mean, it must have been in the first few months, kind of like, well, I'm going to do this, but in the back of my, maybe I'm not going to do this.
I don't know.
When did it kick in?
48? No. No, just meaning because it was the next one thing in front of me that I did one at a time that I wasn't there yet. So I still needed to do the right next one thing.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back. If you want to ask a question of this lady, Amy Rollins, part of our staff here, we're talking, and I tell her this, she's my hero. She's my intentional living hero, and she resides next door in the office next to mine upstairs because she really exemplifies this. What we did, I did mention before the show, your identity becomes like this too.
That's true.
But there's a lot more to Amy than being a marathoner.
Praise the Lord.
She's a whole person. And when we come back after the break, I want to hear a little more about who is Amy, what makes you tick, and what would you say to people who are trying to set a goal today, how they could get started in their life? And it may not be this kind of a goal, but like I said, it could be someone who's feeling like they're sitting on that sand dune in Western Michigan and they've been at the pits, their marriage is struggling or their health or their finances or whatever, and they need one thing. Because that's what we talk about, experiencing life the way God intended, and you just said it without saying it that way. You wanted to experience life the way God intended, and God didn't intend for you to be like that.
No.
He had something better for you.
Amen.
And you got intentional to do that. And so we're going to come back, and we're going to hear about that in a moment.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media. and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Number two is accountability. Accountability is key. We need each other. I would encourage you, if you've made a decision to develop a new habit in your life, you find someone that you can be accountable to. Someone who will hold you accountable. How are you doing on your journey of developing this new attitude or behavior in your life? Number three, just beware of the triggers to your habits. You know, habits don't happen in a vacuum. There's usually a trigger. It could be a time of day. Do you find that a certain time during the day, it's almost like the clock tolls at a certain time, and you find yourself responding in a certain way? Some habits occur as a result of a smell. Have you ever noticed that sometimes habits have triggers with certain people? Have you found yourself, when you're around a certain person, having a certain way of thinking and responding almost without thought to that person? So just take some time to be aware of the triggers that can set off some of the habits, because I'm telling you, those triggers are still going to be there. They're still going to be those same people. They're still going to be the same smell. They're still going to be the same time of day.
That's an excerpt on habits and the importance of habits, the intentionals for developing the kind of habits that can change your life. It's a part of our ministry. It's our featured lesson for our members only up on our website at theintentionallife.com. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. God bless you. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. Just joined us. Amy Rollins is here. She's here every day. She's a part of the team here at Intentional Living, Intentional Life Media. She's our compliance coordinator. And she set a goal 22 years ago to run a full 26.2 mile marathon in 50 states. With training, that's about 2,000 miles a year for 22 years. Do the math. That's about 44,000 miles, 500 pair of shoes. And you're thinking, that's not normal. In fact, I was looking up that there's a group. What's the Association of 50 State
Marathon Club?
I just looked it up, and AI told me less than 2,000 people have officially ever done this. Now, there's probably more who have not reported in, but even then, they said probably less than 10,000 in the whole world. So you're in the rare air of accomplishing this, and most of us are never going to accomplish something where only 2,000 other people have accomplished, and that's okay. The goal today isn't for you to become a marathoner, except maybe in your life, to become a marathoner, to do what God's intention is. And Amy, I know that that's your desire, and that's your reason behind this. Talk about that. How'd you come to Christ? How did that make a difference? And how did all of this goal setting and accomplishment in your life impact you spiritually?
It was shortly after coming to Christ that this goal materialized, and it was all a result of feeling hopeless. Now, I grew up knowing of God, but I hadn't accepted Him as my Savior, surrendered to Him, knowing that He is the Lord of my life. And so, once I learned that and I could have a personal relationship with Him, then I wanted to, out of love, thankfulness for what He's done to me, honor His temple of the Holy Spirit and make it so that, okay, if I'm eating a bag of chips and I'm sitting on the couch and having Oreos and I don't feel good.
Don't bring up Oreos, please. Anything but Oreos.
Sorry,
I'm fine.
I mentioned one of your
favorite
cookies.
Anything but Oreos and I'm with you. All right, go ahead.
But the idea of not feeling good because I wasn't taking care of the temple that it gave me. Once I started doing that, then I had energy. And then the energy I could use to serve others.
Yeah.
As I do now, as a part of this journey throughout, I've had obstacles in different things. And where you said that, yes, I am not just a runner.
Yeah.
I work full time. I am a daughter. And so I take care of my elderly dad part-time. And so I needed energy to do all of those things. I'm a wife now. And so to share that time, I needed the energy. And so the energy I've derived from taking care of the temple that he gave me. And so it allows me to serve others. I feel that God is, as a part of this, as how I started to take care of the temple. God is a part of this is when I'm on a run and I'm seeing God's creation, I'm listening to his birds. I see, at least here in Tucson, Arizona, these beautiful mountains, and they show me that my proper relationship with God, they're bigger than me. God is bigger than me. So it's just awe-inspiring to see his creation. I often, on long runs, I say, how can I be praying for you? And I'll do that. As a part of the traveling for the 50 states, I'm in airports, you're in airplanes, and, oh, you're traveling for business or pleasure? Here's what I'm traveling for. How can I pray for you today? So it wasn't just an exercise, but it was an exercise in my faith as well.
Mm. How, think about the 50 states, what are some memories that come to mind, moments that really impacted you, maybe in a relationship more than the run or in the run? I don't know. Is anything that kind of pops out over the 22 years as a high point or as a low point in terms of your journey?
Both. Sometimes doing this on my own, or I had this goal before I met my current husband, my second husband, it would take me away from him because I would spend time doing this other thing. So that would be maybe a low point. Some of the high points were when he came with me or he joined me in the process. Some of the high points would be when I prayed with someone in the airport or on an airplane.
You know, we're talking about goal setting today. And this is a big one. Obviously, this is one of those, you're going to write a book on this, right? I mean, we're going to hear the story. It's a big story. But when you think about the goal setting, people listening, in each of our lives, we set goals that no one's ever going to hear about. But they're just personal. They're for us. We do them because they're important. But goals have a way of compounding. And not only one thing, but they, hey, I did this, you know, give God the glory in this area and something else, you know. They call it habits. They call
habit stacking
in that area of psychology. When we look at how when you take one habit, it stacks on another. How has been some habit stacking in your life in terms of doing this impacting other areas of your life?
Financially would be my probably the next tier that I was working towards. Getting out of debt. I came and I was in debt from college. I was also had a improper relationship with finances of I was trying to spend money to please other people. So I was spending money on credit cards, money that I didn't have. So I was in debt. Learning through Crown Financial. Sorry, that was a plug.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But meaning learning God's principles for money. What does the Bible say about money and how to spend it and budget and things like that? So there's one thing about knowing what you're supposed to do, and then there's another about walking it out.
Intentional living.
So when I actually did it, then I got out of debt. And then I started being able to go from apartment living to house living. And so then investing in an asset. And then, okay, I pay my monthly bill, but then now we put something on top of that to attack that principle. So buying cars outright. So that habit stacking in the physical realm, I extrapolated those key disciplines that I learned there, and I took it over to the financial aspect of my life.
Interesting. Now, in your case, Amy, your goal was very measurable, 26.2 miles in 50 states. Right. You either do it or you don't do it. And we have people listening that may be setting goals that are a little mushier. You know, I want to serve God. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, how do I translate that? And that's, I think, one of the things here at Intentional Living, we want you to take whatever a problem is that you're facing or an issue you're facing and say, how can I put this into something I can grab hold of that's a little more measurable? You know, if you want to grow in your faith, maybe you're saying, hey, I want to read through the Bible this next year. And I'm going to take the intentional word. I'm going to read through the Bible every day. I can measure it. It's either I'm doing it or I'm not. Or, hey, I'm going to pray for my kids every day. And we talk about habit stacking. First thing in the morning, I have my cup of coffee and I'm going to sit down and pray for my kids until that becomes a habit. And that's a spiritual discipline. That's how we process. And one of the things I've learned is I've listened to people talk about goals. Sometimes they'll say, I want to do this or I want to do that. And they're kind of squishy. And how important was it for you and your goal setting to be very specific, even writing it down so it's clear right across the forehead of your life, this is what I'm going after?
I would say because I communicated it with others, it was like, oh, now I'm on the hook. I have to be accountable. But at the same time, while that might have seemed like a burden, it was also the challenge to step up to. It helped motivate me.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you, I want you to share, I want you to talk directly to someone listening today who is today where you were 22 years ago.
No, absolutely not.
What do they do? You know, where do they get started in this?
Sure.
I want to hear that story and that encouragement when we come back. This is Intentional Living. We're talking to Amy Rollins, who's a part of our staff here at Intentional Living. She's our compliance coordinator, which means she keeps everything going the way it's supposed to be going with the FCC and all those kinds of things. And she does it like a marathoner. She does it consistently. She does it daily, and she does it well.
Are the habits shaping your life making you stronger or holding you back? In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Habits, you'll learn how to identify the habits shaping your life and intentionally replace unhealthy patterns with godly habits that lead to lasting change.
What one habit do you have right now you'd like to eliminate in your life? When we think of five essential areas of life, faith, family, health, finances, and work, and you had to pick one habit that you know is not building strength into your life, what would it be?
Create new habits this year and support Intentional Living with a monthly gift. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you for that reminder, Kurt, and for each of you who are praying for us and supporting the ministry. God bless you. Check it out. There's more opportunities for you today to become a part of the ministry in a very tangible way to impact someone for Christ. Man, what you talk about having a goal, using your life and your resources to bring people to Christ intentionally. And you can be a part of that journey. Give us a call, 888-888-1717, press number 2. Our team would love to talk to you, or go to theintentionallife.com. 4 minutes left, Amy. People are thinking, all right, 50 states, 22 years, 44,000 miles. You've done it, been there, done that. Now what? Where's the big letdown after I reach a goal? What about for you?
I'm thankful that people have asked me this question before I accomplished the goal, because then it prepared me to know what is next so that I don't think, okay, well, I met this goal that took a long time and now life is over. No. Hopefully, Lord willing, I can continue to show His light in other areas, continue to challenge myself, because by continuing to challenge myself, I am teaching myself again over and over that He is my provider and my protector, and that He is my strength. So challenge myself to do something that I might not think that I can do.
Amen. Well, we're going to be excited to see what that is. All right, we got someone listening, Amy, that needs to hear some encouragement for them today, because they're overwhelmed when they hear what you've done and where you are, and pleased for you, but they're thinking, where do I get started? What would you say to them? Because you certainly have been down this path. And their goal may not be this huge, but they have something that they need to set as a goal in their life today. What would you say to them?
Start where you are. Know that you can through God's help. I think believing in yourself is a huge thing, and maybe you need to prove it to yourself. But rely on His strength to be able to do it. And start small. Start where you are. Where I didn't run a marathon, I started with walking a block and running a block. So start where you are. Because those small wins will encourage you for the next step to challenge you to the next one.
You know, as you were talking, I wrote down three things here that really important when you're setting a goal. If you're feeling overwhelmed today in your life, maybe you're feeling discouraged in some area, your finances are upside down, your marriage is upside down, your health is, whatever it is, upside down. Three things that I think we heard from Amy's story today that I want to pass along to you. Amy had a why. She had a why she was doing this. In your case, it started with, hey, I've been through a divorce, overweight, not healthy, high blood pressure, sitting on the hill wondering what's next in my life. It wasn't just, hey, I want to run 26 miles. She had a why. And you got to get a hold of, why am I doing this? As followers of Christ, it's to bring glory to Him.
Amen.
And I've been around long enough to know an intentional living, the trickle-down benefit is going to be all over us. You had a why, and you're benefiting from that intentional decision.
Thankful.
The second thing is she had a what. What I'm going to do is go run a marathon. I don't know what your marathon is as you're listening today. Maybe your marathon is to get out of debt or to get your marriage or get your life back in order as a follower of Christ. But you got to have not only the why, but also what specifically steps, what is the goal that I'm going to set? And you may need some help in doing that. And then you need a win. You did it. I bet you got up pretty soon and started to get going with that running, right? I mean, it was, you didn't wait. I'll do it next year.
No.
Let's get up today. Let's do it today. Intentional living is about today. And here's my question to you as we close the show today. What one thing could you do today that'll bring glory to God, benefit to you and those that you love, and maybe the beginning of the just the little germination of a little seed in your life of setting a goal that will transform your life, maybe not in 22 years, but in 22 days or 22 weeks. And it begins as followers of Christ. What does the Bible say? It tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, it's very important that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. By the way, the heart isn't just the beating thing inside you. It's your mind, it's your thinking, it's the truth. You know, it's to trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, because that ain't working. In all your ways, acknowledge His presence, it says, and then He will direct your path. That's a promise, but the promise with a condition. If you're not doing that, don't expect God to be directing your path. So today, that's a great verse, or two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work here, too.
You're
a very, very special part of the team. And so when we talk about intentional living, Amy is the superstar. Thank you for being a part of the team. Thanks for listening today. I hope we've encouraged you. I'll tell you what, we're going to continue a little bit of this kind of discussion that we're going to record, and then we'll air it coming up on Monday. And so if you want to join in and share your story or what have you, give us a call. 888-888-1717. Have a great day. This is Intentional Living from Intentional Life Media.